The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a football Friday with the boss.
I call shot like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Good morning, everybody, and it is great to have you with us. I'm David Gow, the boss, and sadly, the gloss is not here. It's like the lights went out in the building. Everything's just a little darker. Ron's moping around the office. Ron, are you okay without Carla here?
I'm not okay without Carla here. Is it because of what happened last night?
That is the intriguing question.
Is she running scared?
Well, for those of you who listen to the show regularly, you will know that Carla Dawson is the world's most rabid, committed Raiders fan. And, of course, Ron, the most over-the-top Chargers fan. And this is one day where it's probably better that she is not in studio with us.
I you know what? I showed up after the Raiders beat the Chargers earlier this season.
In a nail-biting loss.
Yes.
Yes.
That hurt me. No excuses.
No, you did. You showed. I mean, I don't know what to say about Carla. I will note, though, that when she's here, you usually dress a little better. You comb your hair.
I'm slumming a little bit today.
You really do a lot better job with your whole regalia. I mean, you just let it go.
I got the man yeti beard happening, just untamed wildness going on. Hair's all over the place.
Well, maybe it's best that Carla's not here.
No, if she was, I would have gone to the bathroom real quick and freshened up.
Well, she would be sulking this morning as the Raiders fell in Thursday Night Football to the Chargers in a fantastic game in Las Vegas. Really great matchup and a heartening win for the Chargers, as Justin Herbert looked fantastic.
It felt that's my biggest takeaway from that game, is how good that feels. Even if we had lost, just the way he looks on the field, he looks like he belongs in the NFL.
That he does. He belongs in the NFL right now as a rookie. He was outstanding. We will unpack that game. We'll look at the implications for the Raiders, who now really do not have a good path to the playoffs, under 5% chance that they will make it. And we'll look at the future of the Chargers, which is suddenly very, very bright. We will take that look when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Friday with the boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, after a great Monday night matchup last week, the Browns-Ravens in a thriller, there was another thriller last night, Thursday Night Football, Chargers defeating the Raiders in a really important game for the Raiders. It was at home in the beautiful confines of Las Vegas, and they were playing for a playoff spot. They fell to the Chargers last night. Raiders dropped to 7-7. And in their defense, they did lose their starting quarterback early, but that really didn't seem to be the reason that they fell to the Chargers. I mean, Marcus Mariota came in for Derek Carr, and actually Mariota looked pretty strong. I mean, remember, he's a former number 2 overall draft pick. He's the highest paid backup in the NFL. He's a guy whom everybody thought would play very, very well at a high level for a long time. He has not been successful in the NFL, but he looked pretty good last night. Overall, he finished 17 for 28, 226 yards, and a rating of about 83. I'll tell you what, that one pass to Darren Waller had to put some fear in your heart, Ron, because he had a Darren Waller down the left sideline, a 35-yard touchdown pass, a perfectly thrown ball, and it gave the Raiders a 10-7 lead. Everything looked good, but they couldn't keep up with that Chargers offense.
Nah, you know what? I like Mariota. I've always liked Mariota.
Yeah.
And I was happy for the way he was playing, even if it meant that, you know, he would come out on the winning end. Because by the time you really, you know, the game was going on, you realize this was a good game. The Chargers season is all but over, you know, but you know, just except for the fact that they can play a role of spoiler from here and there. But I was excited that Mariota came into this game and played as well as he did, especially everything that had gone on in Tennessee where, you know, pretty much almost ran out of the league. And he found life here. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a type of game where, or a series of games, depending on Carr's injury, that gets him another starting job somewhere.
Well, notably, I think he is going to get another chance here for a few games. Derek Carr's injury did not look like a one-week setback. He really pulled it. And yeah, you could see he was in pain. It's a pulled groin. So Carr's out, Mariota in. I will say, because of the way he was playing and because he moved around so well, I thought, well, maybe he's going to be the next Ryan Tannehill, a first-round draft pick who failed at his first destination and then in his second destination was able to play at a much higher level.
And, you know, funny to say that because Tannehill's the one who replaced him.
That is. The irony of it all. Well,
but you had mentioned the passing that he was doing. What was really scaring me was the way he was able to run, too.
Yep.
That brought fear in my eyes because the Chargers had no answer for that.
Well, remember, he used to run that RPO so effectively at Oregon, and he did it well again last night. That's something Derek Carr doesn't bring to that Raider offense, and he did it exceptionally well. It was a fun matchup, Duck versus Duck, Herbert versus Mariota.
Which I will have to say, because I was texting Carla during the game last night, we kept going back and forth, and I did tell her at one point, I said, I guarantee, you know, no matter what, an Oregon quarterback is winning.
Well, that was bold of you, wasn't it?
It was my bold take of the night. She didn't get it.
Oh, really?
I'm almost 100% positive that she knew Mariota was an Oregon Duck quarterback. Because she was like, well, that's bold of you to say, especially coming from you.
Oh, she was assuming that you were referring to Herbert. But I will
no,
say
no, she didn't. I don't think she knew Herbert was from Oregon.
Oh, is that right? Well, she never liked Mariota. She has always been suspicious of him. And when the Raiders signed him in the offseason as the most expensive backup in the NFL, she was very skeptical that he could contribute. And remember, when he was signed by the Raiders, there were whispers that he would eventually become the starter. There have long been there's been a point of view that John Gruden's not that enamored with Derek Carr and has always been looking for his replacement and that Mariota might be that guy.
No, and when you watched last night, the way everything played out, and especially if Mariota's given a little bit more time, because Mariota looked great last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't lose that game. That game just, you know, it was just one of those games where there had to be a winner and a loser last night, and the Raiders fell on the short end.
Well, if there is something to pick on about the Raiders, it is their defense. I mean, a week ago, John Gruden so disappointed in his defense, he fired his defensive coordinator, Paul Gunther, and then he elevated Rod Marinelli, who was the defensive line coach, and then became the DC last night, but it really didn't make any difference. Raiders defense could not stop the Chargers offense.
No, not at all. I mean, the passing, everything was going on. It was just, I don't know, it was horrible.
All right, I want to talk about the sensation of last night. I mean, Justin Herbert was amazing. He threw for 314 yards, two touchdowns, passer rating of 121. Herbert completed passes to seven different receivers. He was outstanding, stealing the show on Thursday night on a grand stage. This kid just impresses me every single week. As I was watching him, I know it's going to sound a little suspect, but we'll do it when we come back from break. Well, let me offer this. I think that Justin Herbert, looks like another quarterback who's getting a lot of press right now. And maybe on the other side of our interview with Pierre Garçon, who's about to join us, I'll fill you in on who that is. But when we come back, we do have a chance to visit with Pierre Garçon. You may recall, he was an 11-year wide receiver in the NFL. He played for the Colts, Redskins, and 49ers. And I want to ask him, well, can the Colts find their way into the playoffs? It'll be Pierre Garçon when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line with Progressive drivers who go to Progressive save over $750 on average. We have Pierre Garçon, the longstanding great receiver in the NFL. He played for 11 years. He was a standout with the Colts, the Redskins, and finished with the 49ers. Pierre, welcome onto the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, I'd love to begin by asking about your former team, the Colts. They are 9-4. They're right in the playoff hunt. What's going to take to make the Colts a deep threat here in the AFC?
Consistency. Got to get some consistency with the offense. Got to get it going. The defense obviously has to hold opponents, but scoring more points than the other team would definitely get you deep in the playoffs.
Well, they've got a good defense. Phillip Rivers has been up and down when you mentioned consistency. What's your confidence level and how far Rivers can take them?
Rivers has the experience, so he definitely knows what it takes to get there. Obviously, Mother Nature and old age never loses a battle, but if it was anybody to do it, he'd be one that can do it. It's a little bit harder as the years get longer, but, he's mentally strong and physically, hopefully, put it all together.
We're talking to Pierre Garçon, the longstanding receiver in the NFL with the Colts, Washington football team, and the 49ers. Now, you played with Peyton Manning. Tell us about that experience.
It was a great experience. It's the greatest quarterback that I could have been teamed up with to start my career. I learned a lot from those guys, Peyton, Reggie, Marvin, Gonzo, Dallas Clark. They had a lot of great leaders. It was a very, very interesting part of my life and career, and it definitely set me on the right track to be who I am today.
So one thing that I think we have a better appreciation of today than we did back when he was playing, Peyton Manning has a great personality. He's a jovial presence, right? I mean, and I was talking to a colleague here in the office the other day, and he was saying that we're entering or going to enter the golden age of color commentating in football, where, of course, Tony Romo, former quarterback, has stepped into the booth and performed so well, and he diagnoses the plays on the field. We've got Drew Brees coming soon. And then, of course, there are always these whispers that Peyton Manning ought to be behind the mic because of his personality and his insights. How do you think he'd do behind the mic?
I think he'd do very well. I think that's why he's hosting his series now. But he has a great personality. He's very smart. He knows the game in and out, and it's definitely he has a secret that not everybody knows how much of a personality he has. And he's a jokester. He's funny. He's definitely made for in front of the TV, in front of the camera, and he definitely could do it if you wanted to. And it would definitely be an entertainment that nobody would expect to believe or to accept to understand.
We're talking to Pierre Garçon, who played with Peyton Manning and the Colts. One more question about him. On the field, his demeanor seemed locked in and very serious. Mm-hmm. Was it different in the locker room then? Was he more jovial, cracking jokes? What was his personality like off the field?
Off the field, he's always cracking jokes. He'll let you know when it's time to be serious, when it's time to joke around. He's very sarcastic, but on the field, like I said, it's all business. It's all, detailed. It's all, knowing your assignments and knowing where you need to be, which is, what helps us all be successful. He's on it when he's on the field and off the field. He's relaxed. He's, he's another guy, but he's always ready to go back to jump into work mode and lock in on whatever he's trying to accomplish.
Okay. So you also played with the Washington football team at that point, the Redskins. Mm-hmm. They look like they may be on their way to the NFC East title. What's impressed you about Washington this year?
I'm impressed by how much they just kept fighting. The defense is coming along well. We knew that's what's going to lead the team is the defense. Those guys are playing strong, playing well, and beating some good opponents. And that's definitely how you win games in this league, playing great defense. The offense is coming along, but we knew the defense would be the hump that to get us over that the barrier that we need to get over, and they are stepping up for us, and it's exciting to see how far they can take us.
Yeah, that defensive front is outstanding, and Chase Young, what a great addition. But let me ask you about Alex Smith. I've heard people call him, at this point in his career, an elite game manager, not a superstar, but more than just a mundane game manager, an elite one. Is that a fair characterization, or what's the ceiling on Alex Smith this year?
Man, Alex Smith is a superhero, I'll tell you the truth, man. I would love to have him as my quarterback. I know a lot of players are going even harder for him because of how he is, the person he is, and how he's come back and the type of player he is. He's always been a great player, always been calm, always leading, always being the quarterback that you would want on your team. So definitely an elite quarterback to me. And I know he's definitely itching to get back out there. Unfortunately, the injuries, but he's a superhero that everybody on the team loves, and guys not even on his team love him just for the person he is and the resilience he has.
We're talking to Pierre Garçon, who led the NFL in receptions in 2013. Looking at the wide receivers today across the league, who stands out to you? Whom are you most impressed by?
I'm most impressed by, man, those guys are playing very, very well. It's hard to go, to be surprised by how amazing these guys are playing. Stephon Diggs is doing amazing for Buffalo. I'm happy that he transferred over to them, and he's showing his worth, his value. DeAndre Hopkins, he's supposed to do what he's doing right now. And I've been seeing that guy do those crazy things for the longest, and I'm happy he finally get his recognition. Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. He's going to make a play no matter when he gets the ball. And DK Metcalf is just a big guy that's playing like a big guy and doing everything well like a big guy. So those guys are really, really impressive. And Julio Jones is Julio Jones. he was DK before DK. But those guys definitely impressive to see, and happy that these guys are playing well with quarterbacks that are trying to get them the ball.
Okay, Pierre, we all know that holidays this year are very different than years past. How are you planning on celebrating?
Mm-hmm. This year, definitely excited that Amazon Prime Video, I'm going to show a lot of football game with my former quarterback, Kirk Cousins, the Vikings and the Saints. Encourage everybody to check that game out on Prime Video, as well as my former team, the 49ers, against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals on the day after on Prime Video. Definitely spent a lot of time watching those games and with the family and watch some Amazon originals. The Boys, Sylvie's Love is a new film that's coming out with Nnamdi, an opponent that played DB against me in the league. With his film career that's taken off. But, being quarantined at home, we get to watch a lot of Prime Videos and just enjoy with the documentaries and stuff that they have on their network.
All right, so what's the one thing you like to watch that people might be surprised to know?
The one thing I like to watch, they probably wouldn't be surprised, but there's a lot of Amazon original All or Nothing document teams from the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cardinals, and to Tottenham soccer. I love watching the insights, the behind the scenes of different organizations and how they handle things, and what they show. We're all very similar, but it's just unique to see another team how they handle situations. And definitely looking forward to watching more of those and gathering more information.
All right, one more question: where can our viewers, listeners, go for more information?
For more information, you definitely go to amazon.com/Prime Video, see all the originals, see the documentaries that I love. It's definitely worth watching, and encourage you to check out those Christmas games and the day after Christmas, my former team and my old quarterback.
Great stuff. That's Pierre Garçon, former wide receiver in the NFL. Pierre, thanks so much for joining us here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not every day you get to speak to an 11-year NFL veteran, Pierre Garçon. Boy, he had a great career. I remember him with Peyton Manning, a very prolific offense. They were on fire for a good run there. Great to hear from him, and it sounds like he's doing very well. All right, before we brought Pierre on, we were talking about the greatness of Justin Herbert last night. He was so impressive, threw for over 300 yards. He really had it going, and he seems in a real rhythm now. The protection the Chargers provided him looked good. He stood up strong in the pocket. He made all the throws, short, long, on a rope, with loft. He could do everything.
Yeah.
You just need to be smiling as a Chargers fan.
I just feel good. And listen, I mean, you know what? Yeah, their record, it's a, you know, it's not a good one this year. They're not going to be playoff bound at all. Hopefully it puts them in the category of a decent draft pick, a high draft pick. Go out and find yourself some offensive lineman. Protect this guy.
Well, I was going to ask you at one point, because I saw a mock draft about the Chargers that they were going to take Pitts, the great tight end from Florida. My reaction is they don't really need Pitts. I mean,
no.
Obviously he's a great player, and what a combination that would be to have Herbert and Pitts on the same team. But there are bigger needs.
I think you're right. And Hunter Henry, you know, I don't know if the full book is out on Hunter Henry just yet. I mean, he came out of college with a lot of hope. He's been injury plagued.
Yep.
And I don't know if, I mean, maybe that's scary. I wouldn't mind a good tight end. It seems like that's the kind of the norm now, is have a good quarterback, and that quarterback needs a good scoring tight end.
Yep.
We're seeing it all over the place. But I'm more looking into, like, okay, you got your guy. Let's make sure that this offensive line is young and grows with this quarterback, and you're able to keep everyone and just keep him protected.
All right, I hate to do this. Turn up the hype so high on Justin Herbert.
Uh-oh.
That then he gets ripe for a fall.
But I'm already expecting a sophomore slump next year. So
yeah, well,
okay,
good. Your expectations are low. This Ron Culver, the guy who a couple weeks ago, when Justin Herbert shaved his beautiful head of hair, you were afraid of the Samson effect.
Hey, I was right for a little bit.
Well, it did set him back a little bit, that if he would shave his head, he would not have his powers. But his powers were on display last night. So much so that when I was watching him, I was reminded of another quarterback whom everyone's getting a lot of love right now. A generational quarterback is the label they're giving him coming out of the draft this year. I think Herbert looks a bit like Trevor Lawrence to me. Now stay with me. You're looking confused, but they're both tall, almost lanky, big quarterbacks, 6'6 guys, and yet they move very well. I mean, these 6'6 quarterbacks, remember Brock Osweiler? He was like a stumbling giraffe, a big, tall quarterback, but he couldn't move the way Herbert and the way Lawrence do.
No, I can see where you're going. Joe Flacco's the same way. Mm. Joe Flacco's a tall guy, and I think he's around that 6'6 range as well, but he just, you know, outside that one Super Bowl year where his defense helped him out a lot, you know, I can see where you're going with this. I mean, I've often said that Trevor Lawrence has been was built in a laboratory. Maybe Justin Herbert was the beta version of it.
He's not that far off physically, and tool set and arm strength. I mean, he is in that neighborhood, at least what we've seen. Now, clearly he didn't get the same acclaim coming out of Oregon that we see for Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson now. I mean, the love for Clemson Lawrence is pronounced. It's really fun to think about it. People talk about him as this generational quarterback, much like Elway or Luck, mm-hmm. or they even throw Peyton Manning in there. And Lawrence, to be at that level and talked about in that realm, it's really high praise for a guy who has not yet entered in the NFL, but he deserves it. He's 33-1 for Clemson. He's got a national title, and physically he has all the gifts to be an elite quarterback.
No, and he looks like he can play. He looks like once he gets into the NFL, I don't really think there's going to be a trip up anywhere here or there. I mean, sure, he's going to have his rookie mistakes because the game's much faster once you get to the NFL. But, yeah, he looks like he's poised ready to play.
It's sort of interesting. There are several teams now. If you go to tankathon.com, we're all focused on tanking and getting a high draft pick. And my beloved Cowboys, at this point, I just want them to lose to get a high draft pick. Was there a moment last night where you're thinking, I want Herbert to play well, but I still want the team to lose? Because the Chargers, with that win last night, probably where they were positioned somewhere in the top five. Now they're probably 9 or 10, depending on how things unfold the next few weeks.
And could easily slip out of the top 10.
Yes, each win is big.
I will tell you this. A couple weeks ago when they were getting, I forgot who they got blown out by. Carolina? No, New England, when they lost 45-0 to New England. You know, there was a part of me that was like, you know, it's just a bad game all around. Hey, they're getting good draft picks. But it's the Raiders. I don't like losing to the Raiders ever. Yeah.
Good win. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with the play-by-play voice of the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein. We're going to ask him, is the Washington football team on their way to the NFC East title?
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, I had to put the question to Ron about whether he wanted those Chargers to win last night. Because there's a whole logic of tanking down the stretch, getting a good draft pick. And I might say that it's really intriguing to compare tanking in the NFL with tanking in the NBA. I really think there's a logic that it doesn't work as well in the NFL, that there are too many players, and as Michael Irvin said, once the stench of losing permeates your team, it's very, very hard to overcome. That the stench gets in, and drafting one player really, really high up doesn't just remove that stench. The expectations are different. The trajectory is different. And it's very hard to pull yourself out of that nosedive, and harder to do on a team of 50 players versus a team of, say, 10 to 12 players in the NBA. So that logic is very relevant. And when you think about the Chargers, what they got last night was a real win on which they can build, real optimism, and real mojo about how that offense is going to work, led by Justin Herbert. I think it was a worthwhile win, even though their draft pick falls from probably around 4, maybe 5, down to 9 or 10. So I salute the Chargers for going out and winning. Now, I promised you we'd have Bram Weinstein join us. He is the play-by-play voice for the Washington football team. Let's go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line, because drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Bram, thank you for joining us here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Hi, good morning.
Well, congratulations to your Washington football team. They are sitting atop the NFC East. What surprised you so much this season?
Well, I mean, I think this feels a little ahead of schedule. I mean, you know, they are 6-7, though. Okay. And so, you know, part of this is obviously their division has been down this year. And there was an expectation, obviously, that either Dallas or Philadelphia or both would be better than this. And so they're partially in the position because of the way that those two teams have performed. That said, they've won 4 in a row. And around here, you know, we've asked everyone, raise your hand if you thought when the schedule came out that they would win in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, at Pittsburgh, and then at San Francisco. And you wouldn't find anybody who would have thought that. So there's a combination of there's a lot of good things going on here. It's a very complicated story, and they also, the division is going to be won by someone by default.
Well, one complicated story, at least from my perspective from afar, has been the quarterback position. I did not envision that Alex Smith would be starting and playing so well. Tell us what kind of inspiration he's been.
So we didn't either. If you know, the reality here is his contract was guaranteed for this year. He would not have been on the roster in the winter if it wasn't. That they would have come to an injury settlement with him. And as far back as, you know, what would have been OTAs in a normal year, he would not have been practicing at that point. And, you know, it's really, this is complicated, like the rest of it. He was never really given a chance, even though he was progressing in the summer, to actually compete for the starting job. Ron Rivera just paved the road for Dwayne Haskins, decided not to go out into the open market and bring in a veteran to compete with him. They brought in Kyle Allen, who they knew in Carolina, but only to be really the backup. And then, you know, as things progress, Dwayne Haskins ends up getting benched. Kyle Allen ends up getting hurt. Smith is still on the team. he's healthy enough to go out there. There was a concern that he'd be able to protect himself because they really just weren't sure off of all the injuries that he had. And it's just been amazing, like riding a bike for him. There's no fear of hurting himself. He doesn't have the speed that he used to have, but he's able to protect himself. And he clearly is having a lot of fun. And he has galvanized this team. He and Ron Rivera's cancer diagnosis have galvanized them. And it's a big part of why they've gotten hot here at the end of the season.
No doubt. Well, we're talking to Bram Weinstein. He's the play-by-play voice for the Washington football team. I'd love to ask you about Dwayne Haskins. Do you envision Washington having him on the roster next year, or is he going to be worthwhile in the trade?
So we don't know the answer to that. You know, like at this point, like when they benched him, most of us did not think that he would be traded anywhere, because what would his value be at that point? It didn't make any sense to move him off the roster. And what would be the point of doing it? They have him under control for 2 or 3 years. He's still in his rookie contract. There were a couple of years left before they'd have to come around to an option and decide whether to retain him. And they've said, you know, he does have these skill sets that are unusual. He's got a huge arm. You know, he's got a high ceiling. There's just a long way to go for him to mature into becoming an NFL quarterback. But they were at least saying, we're not giving up on him. As the offseason rolls around, it's a big question. And, you know, will Alex Smith play again next year? Do they want him to play again? Does he want to play again? We don't really know the answer to that. He is under contract next year, but it's not guaranteed any longer. And therefore, Washington has a choice to make about whether they want him on the roster and at the price that he's at. So we don't know the answer to that. And if you kind of survey around the league and go, all right, if it's not Alex Smith and you don't believe in Haskins, who's the quarterback? Because they're not going to be picking high enough to get one of the 2 or 3 guys that everyone points to and says that's who you take out of the draft. And if you look at the potential players who are available, name the one that fits, that ends up coming in here, that you don't have to give up a lot of assets for or can extricate from their team. Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, someone like that. So I think he is on the team. If for no other reason, I don't know that they have another option to go to. But if someone were to come along and make a reasonable offer for him, they obviously would listen to it.
We're talking to Bram Weinstein. He's the play-by-play voice for the Washington football team. Okay, the NFC East is still wide open. Washington with the lead, a 6-7 record. Giants, Eagles, and even the Cowboys are in it. Which one of those teams worries you the most?
I think the Giants. You know, Washington swept the Cowboys, so there's less of a concern there.
Yep.
They've already beaten the Eagles, so they get them again at the end of the year, and Philadelphia is going to have to be in position to have a shot to catch them, which means winning their next two to even have a shot to catch them. So it's the Giants, and, you know, frankly, like, in watching all these teams play so closely as I have this year, the Giants' defense is vastly underrated. Like, their record, I don't think that their record is indicative of how competitive they are, especially early in the season. And what they may ultimately regret is going back to Daniel Jones a week ago. And I think having Colt McCoy in this weekend gives them a viable shot, you know, against Cleveland, and we'll see. And Washington's got Seattle this weekend. So they can't be tied in the standings with the Giants. Giants swept them. So that's the one I'm worried about. That said, New York has to play Cleveland and Baltimore the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
And Washington, if they could somehow knock off Seattle, or even if they don't, beat Carolina, Philadelphia down the stretch, it's reasonable to think that they will end up hosting a playoff game in January.
All right, let's talk about that Seattle game. What does Washington need to do well this weekend to defeat Seattle?
Run the ball. And I don't know that they can. I mean, that's really where this matchup gets really difficult for them. This is not a great run team to start with. They've been way better since Alex Smith took over, which I think is probably defenses are treating them a lot differently now with Alex Smith, the quarterback, than the other options that were there. But their best running back is a rookie, Antonio Gibson. He got turf toe 2 weeks ago. He has not practiced this entire week. He missed last week against San Francisco. It is unlikely he's going to be able to play. They do not have a bell cow backup, clear-cut running back. Peyton Barber, who's their number two in terms of a lead running back, he's been injured and missed time this week as well. So I don't know that they can run the ball. And that's what I think everyone knows that they need to be able to do this weekend to try to keep Russell Wilson off the field. And it is the weakness right now of the Seattle defense. The last 5-6 weeks, they lead the NFL in sacks over that time period. So their pass rush has come back. Jamal Adams' health has made them a lot better in the passing game as well. So I don't know that Washington can run the ball, but certainly they need to try.
We're talking to Bram Weinstein. He is the play-by-play voice of the Washington football team. I'd love to ask you about Ron Rivera. And it seems from afar, at least, the Redskins' management has been somewhat dysfunctional, and there were always questions about how interventionist Daniel Snyder has been. What kind of control does Ron Rivera have? Does he have ultimate authority, and is that the right model? How is it working now in Washington?
So there have been two things that would point to that he has the authority that he has told us publicly that he has. And first and foremost, like, the building is very different than it was even a year ago. I mean, there was really a clean slate that occurred underneath the owner for a lot of reasons that we don't need to get into right now. But there's a lot of reasons why there were changes that were made within the organization. Ron Rivera was placed as essentially the head of the football operation as the president and the head coach. And everyone asks, and I think reasonably so, does he really have that control? And he's done two things so far that I would point to say that he has. One was cutting Adrian Peterson in the summer. This was someone who was a favorite of the owner. This is someone who the previous coaching staff wanted to release and were essentially not allowed to. And, you know, whether he still had some juice in the tank or could help the team is not really, you know, the point. The point is, can you make a move like this if you choose to do so? And he did. And that's a minor one because he's an older player and they had younger running backs. It's a very different offense, et cetera, et cetera. The other one is the benching of Haskins. When they benched him, he was coming off his first ever 300-plus yard game. They just didn't like what they had seen in general. And so there's a lot of questions about why now? Why would you make this move now? Don't we need to find out what he has? And everyone knows that this was a pick of the owner a year ago, that this was not the choice of the coaching staff. Jay Gruden would not have selected him there, certainly didn't want to be stuck in a position to have to play him as early as he did. And this coaching staff is saying out loud as well, we like Dwayne, but he's got a long way to go. He needs to develop in a lot of ways. But he was allowed to start probably at the behest of the organization, and it was cut short very quickly. So I think Ron Rivera showed, especially in that moment, that he has the gravitas and he has the jurisdiction to do it. And I think that's very important to note. You know, like, there's no repercussions of it. There's no whispering about, oh, well, he shouldn't have done this or he shouldn't have done that. That stuff has kind of disappeared here, and it's manifested in this team playing very well. And so whatever the process is that Ron Rivera is putting in place, it is unimpeded at this point, and there's been benefits to it, and for a lot of reasons. Like, their defensive line's amazing. Like, they have spent a lot of draft capital on their defensive line, and it has been as good as advertised.
Indeed, it has. All right, you are the voice of the Washington football team. Have you ever slipped up, be honest, have you ever slipped up and called them by their old name?
No, I haven't. You just did it, so you got to put money in the, you got to put money
I do
in
it all
jar.
The time.
I got a jar in the booth, so if any of us, me or my two mates in the broadcast booth, D'Angelo Hall or Julie Donaldson, we have a jar. If anyone says it, $20 goes to the jar, and we're going to give the money to charity, and there's not a single dollar in this jar. So I don't know how.
Amazing.
I grew up here, right? I'm a fan of the team. I've been saying that word for 47 years. Like, that's a hard one to get out of my, you know, to like actually erase from my brain. But something, it's almost turned into a curse word for me. It just doesn't come out of my mouth during game day.
That's great, great discipline. Do you have a favorite name for the future of the team? Well, I guess I stumped him on that question. That was Bram Weinstein, great to have him. He's the voice of the Washington football team, and so impressive that he never used the old name. Bram, are you back with us? Because I wanted you just to ask, if I could close with this. Do you have a favorite name for the future of the team?
I like it the way it is.
Really?
I do. I might be in the minority of that. I also think it's 50-50. That's what's going to end up happening.
Yep.
What I'm glad they did not do is just jump to make a quick change and do something they regret. Like, what's important here to understand is this is a very old, traditional, nostalgic franchise. I don't think, and I know they're getting a lot of criticism, they're getting a lot of heat, like, just change the name, one, I don't think you do that very quickly. I think you have to really think it through. And frankly, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the people in this area, what's the name that pops up that people go, oh, that's the one? I don't think that exists.
No.
So I think they're going to have Cleveland's changing the Indians. You hear spiders. There's a historic reference to it. A lot of the fans there say that fits for us. That could be the one for us. There's nothing like that here. So I think it is probable that they're going to stick with this, not only through next season, but beyond that. And if not, they're going to look for something that links to history and nostalgia and maybe the military. And that would be the direction the name goes. But at this point, I've heard nothing that feels like the right thing or anything that even is like hearing whispers that this is the favorite of the new name.
Makes sense. Bram, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
So fun to get a chance to visit with Bram Weinstein, the play-by-play voice for the Washington football team. And it is interesting that he said he really doesn't foresee the team changing its name in the near term, that it's just too hard. There's too much legacy to overcome from their old name to just run into the arms of another, picking a new name.
Yeah.
And I think he's right.
No, I think so too. I mean, are we? And it begs the question: are we going to see the same thing with the Cleveland Indians? Who, you can't call them Cleveland baseball team, but
no.
But then again, we never thought you could say Washington football team all season.
No, to have a helmet with no logo on it, which they really do right now.
That actually looks good, though.
Well, it's sort of clean, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I like the numbers.
Very good stuff. All right. Hey, do you know what? It's Brad Pitt's birthday. When we come back,
happy birthday, Brad.
I'm going to ask you about Brad Pitt's, your favorite Brad Pitt movie. I'm sure you've got at least one. All right. This hour of the Boss of the Gloss has been brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your needs, Rocket can.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year Care was awarded a BBB Torch Award for ethics, because at Care, we're committed to doing business right. Call Care at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.